Hi, and welcome to this gathering of our Bridge family as we've come together to worship our Lord Jesus the Christ. To begin, to kick things off, let me ask you a question. What do you suppose is the number one thing that Jesus wants for you and from you today and every day? I want you to think about that. It's a huge question. And we're going to answer that today, and we're going to see that Jesus himself has made it clear. Again, let me ask you, what do you think is the number one thing that Jesus wants for you and from you here today and every day of your life? Oh, friends, I pray that you know this answer. I pray that you'll embrace this answer. What the Lord would say for you and me that he wants for us and from us today and every day is he wants holiness. He wants our holiness. It is our Lord who has said, "Be holy, for I, the Lord God, am holy." Now, some of you are going to recognize that there's another way to say this. The Lord doesn't just want you and me to be holy. He wants us to be sanctified. That's another way to say holy. You see, holiness is to being sanctified what mission is to doing ministry. When you pursue holiness, you're going to be sanctified. In the same way that when you pursue the mission of God, you will be doing the ministries of God. You see, when you aim at mission, you have to get ministry in the process. It's like being. You can't be without doing, but you can do without being. In the same way, you have to do ministry to get at God's mission. But there are many people out there who are doing ministry who are not on God's mission. Well, in the same way, when you look at holiness, the only way to get to holiness is through the process of sanctification. And it is the process of sanctification that is the embodiment of and the pursuit of holiness. We're going to look at this today in a message that I have entitled, Show and Tell to be Sanctified and Renewed. Show and Tell to be Sanctified and Renewed. Another way to say that is showing and telling sanctifies and renews. We're going to press in today. We're in a series entitled Show and Tell the Word of God. And this series is designed for this year to give us a solid foundation in the family of faith to share the Word of God. We will eventually walk through the entire storyline of the Bible. But we've been pressing in systematically, zeroing in from 50,000 feet to 20,000 to 5,000 to 500 to the rooftop to, I pray, eventually get down right into the very core of our hearts, that we would understand the Word of God, the will of God, and the ways of God. That's what this series is designed to do. Now, last week, Pastor Charlie helped us understand what it was to be called. And that we would be and embrace the essence of being a witness and a servant of Almighty God. That this is what Jesus taught. Well, this is consistent with what we're learning about showing and telling the Word of God. The essence of being the church. What it is to embrace all that our Lord has called and created us to be. Again, what he wants for us and from us every day. Holiness, sanctification. Friends, the big idea for today is to understand that showing and telling like Christ will sanctify and renew Christians. Showing and telling like Christ will, it does, sanctify and renew Christians. We're going to press into where we left off the last time we were together in John 17. I told you then that the Lord had laid on my heart a pressing in and an unpacking of one verse. That verse is John 17:17, nine of the most beautiful words in all the Bible. And I pray that you will see today that it is at the heart of showing and telling. I'd like to just walk with you through the nine words of John 17:17, and then leave you with what I pray will be a blessed illustration, a new tool that will help you to understand and embrace, to embrace and to share, to go and show and tell others this good news of Jesus the Christ. Now, to embrace what God has said, we need to know what God has said. So let's take a look at John 17:17. Let's begin with the Word of God. It's Jesus speaking. Let me remind you, we're in the most intimate place in all the Bible. We're listening to Jesus pray to God the Father on behalf of we, the children of God, the true Christian church. And here in John 17:17, these nine words could and should, I pray, change your life. For you see, it's Jesus who's praying, and he says these words, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Amen and amen. Each of those nine words is pregnant with promise and power and purpose. Let's begin with this first overarching word, sanctify. We need to begin by understanding the definition of sanctification. And from there, I pray, you will see the glory and the grace and the love and the mercy and the mission of Almighty God in a way that will impact you and impact others through you. Listen to John MacArthur give us just a 2-minute definition of sanctification, and then we'll come back and we'll pick up.
Sanctification seems like an old word, even an out-of-date word. It's rare that you would even hear a young pastor use the word sanctification. It basically comes from the idea of being separated, set apart. But it goes back to being set apart from sin. So that sanctification is the progressive disconnect in the life of a believer from sin toward righteousness. So when you become a believer, you have been justified, you have been declared righteous, and then the Spirit of God begins a process of not only declaring you righteous, but making you righteous. And progressively, the Spirit of God works in the believer's life to continually separate that believer from sin. And of course, to make this really operate in a church, it needs to be operating in the leadership. And the goal is to be like Christ. To conform to Christ. In 2 Corinthians 3:18, there's a wonderful statement where it says, "As we gaze at the glory of the Lord," and looking at His glory revealed in Scripture, "we are changed into His image from one level of glory to the next." We go from glory to glory to glory toward Christ's likeness. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. That's sanctification. We're never perfect, but we're progressively becoming more like Christ. One day in glory, we'll be like Him.
Amen. Sanctification, again, it's another way of saying holiness. It's being set apart for the purposes of God. And with this understanding, as we begin, I want you to ask yourself five questions that this one verse, these nine words, will address. These questions, these five questions, are going to get at the very heart of sanctification, at the very heart of glorifying God. Are you ready? I pray that you'll ask this question of yourself and others. I pray you'll ask all five of these questions of yourself and others. Number one, how different do you really want to be? How different do you want to be? Number two, how unified do you want to be? Number three, how truth-filled do you want to be? Number four, how Christ-like do you really want to be? And lastly, how faithfully obedient do you want to be? Ask yourself these five questions. How different do you want to be? How unified do you want to be? How truth-filled do you want to be? How Christ-like do you want to be? And how faithfully obedient do you want to be? You see, this gets at the heart of what it is to be sanctified. Sanctified to be more like Christ, to be set apart, to be holy, unique like Christ. It requires this refining work. Now, when you think about sanctification, the first thing I pray that you'll see is that it is an expression of God's grace. Sanctify, it's a verb. Jesus is asking God the Father in this prayer to sanctify us, that he does the sanctifying. It is an act of grace. You're seeing God's love on display. Don't miss that. You and I cannot sanctify ourselves. This is an act of God. It's another expression of grace. Next, you need to know that there are three stages of sanctification. There is a positional sanctification, a progressive sanctification, and then a perpetual sanctification. This is a way of looking at life across a scale or continuum. Theologians would tell us that we need to understand the five stages of this continuum, that there is damnation, separation, justification, sanctification, and then glorification. Now, when you're in damnation and in separation from God, you are not in that active sanctification stage. And we like to show it through our Stickman gospel, that when you understand justification, when you are born again, in that moment, in that split second, you've now gone from separation into a place of justification. That's what we call positional sanctification. That means that you have now been set apart and you are in the family of God. You will never go back to the orphanage. You will never ever lose that status. You are biblically saved. Now that is called a positional sanctification. You are now in position as a member of the family of God. We know, however, that there is also a progressive sanctification, that we grow in our sanctification as we grow in Christ, that we start off as infant babies and we use the framework, or I call it sometimes the life cycle, where you see this progressive sanctification, that once we've come through the cross and we are born again, we have now died to our old self and we have been born again. We have been justified. Well, now being sanctified begins, and the refining work of God will take on its role in our lives for the rest of our lives. And while each person is unique, the goal and the objective of sanctification, again, by definition, is that we grow into a greater Christ-likeness, and that this process happens for the rest of our lives. Progressive sanctification. Then we also have what we know of as glorification, or that final state when we will be with Jesus in glory, and we would call that perpetual sanctification, in that it's completed. It's going to keep going until we're there and we're done. Now, we know as well that this perpetual, it's going to happen for everybody that is in Christ. It doesn't stop once you become a Christian. That includes the battle and the struggle and the fight that is sanctification, that you and I are going to be tempted and challenged for the rest of our lives in the sanctification process. We don't ever finish until we get home to heaven with our Lord. That's important to understand, because too many are assuming that it's going to get easy, when in reality, it's going to be a hard road all the way home. But that's the point of understanding. When you see Jesus asking the Father to sanctify us, he wants us to have that positional sanctification, which frees us from the power of sin over us. He wants us to have that progressive sanctification that is going to give us that place where we can win every battle. And he wants us to have that glorified, perpetual sanctification where we'll lose the presence of sin altogether. Oh, it's such a powerful and beautiful promise that we have, that the Lord wants us to know these three stages of sanctification. He wants it for us, and he wants it from us. Amen. Now, that brings us to the next word, sanctify them. Who's them? We know them because Jesus has already prayed in here, in this chapter, in this prayer. He says, I'm not praying for the world. I'm praying for the children of God. He's praying for the Christians. He's looking at and praying for the sanctifying work within the body of Christ. He's saying them, meaning the family of God, the true koinonia, unified family of God. You see, I asked you that question, how different do you want to be? Do you want to be sanctified, different from the world, different from who you were, and more like Christ? Now, question number two, how unified do you want to be? Jesus wants you and me to be sanctified and to be unified supernaturally as the family of God. That's what he's praying for here. Sanctify them. Unify, as we see further down in the prayer in verses 20 through 23, with a supernatural unity. I ask you, as Jesus prays for you and wants for you and from you this supernatural unity, is that what you want? Sanctify them, the family of God. Note the next word, sanctify them in. This word in is very important. It's to say that there is a marinate. Think about a cucumber becoming a pickle. How does that happen? It's submerged in something that changes it slowly at times, but changes it completely. From the inside out, the cucumber becomes a pickle because what it is in now comes into it and changes it. This is what we see. Sanctify them in something. What is that something? It's the Word of God. Sanctify them in. Some of your translations will say by or with. And really, what you need to understand is it's the Word of God through the Spirit of God in the people of God that brings this sanctifying about. Whether it's a marinate that we sit in and marinate and change through, or a chisel that God would use. It's always the Word of God. The Word of God on us, again, whether you think about it as that double-edged sword like a chisel, or if you think about it as the marinate, it is the Word of God in us that changes us through the Spirit of God's application. Again, sanctify them in. The. Notice this. This is huge. It's one of those little words that we tend to skip over. But in grammar, that's a definite article. What we have with the word the tells us that this difference maker, this specific thing that is coming, it is the divine difference between a something and the something. That something is truth. This truth. Again, our Lord praying for us. He wants this for us and from us. Sanctify them in the truth. It's the truth that will set us free. John 8:32. Free indeed. John 8:36. It's the truth. His name is Jesus. John 14:6. See this. We're being told that our relationship with God and his word will sanctify us. It is the tool by which we are changed. Sanctify them in the truth. I ask you again, how truth-filled do you want to be? Do you want to be sanctified and made different? Do you want to be unified in the them that Jesus is praying for? Do you want to be truth-filled, which is the essence of being sanctified? That's what Jesus is showing us here. Do you want to be changed by the truth and love of God's word, God's will, and God's ways? Look at what you see next. Sanctify them in the truth. Next, your. We know who we're hearing from here. It's Jesus. And we know who he's talking to. He's praying to the Father. So we're talking about the Father's truth. But notice what happens next. Jesus says, Father, it's your word. Again, this word, this is logos. Truth is a different Greek word, but it's the same essence. It is the word of God, which is truth. And it is the truth of God that is the word. I pray that you see this interacting relationship. Here again, Jesus speaking, praying, sanctify them in the truth. Your, Father, your word, your logos. This is, again, another name for Jesus. We see in John 1 that Jesus is known as the Word. So, again, how are we sanctified? It's the God of the Word and the Word of God that does the changing. It's an act of grace through the Word of God in application upon us and in us that changes us. Now, I want to share with you from a message literally 10 years ago. 10 years ago, I want you to see the timelessness of these truths, the timelessness of God's Word, the timelessness of being called to holiness and sanctification. And I want to give you a tool that you will be able to use for the rest of your life, something that you can use as is and something you'll be able to build upon as well. Watch this. And again, I pray that you'll embrace this desire, that you'll want what Jesus wants for you and from you, to be sanctified, to be changed, to be unified, to be truth-filled, all through the power of God's word, God's will, and God's way, as applied by God's Spirit in God's people. Watch this, and then we'll come back.
I want to make much of Jesus. I want to make much of the God who saved me with the spilt blood of Calvary. I want my life to make much of his, and I'm not sitting here looking for a Santa Claus God where I demand or request that he make much of me. I thank him through sanctification, sanctifying grace, that I get to make much of him, that this unworthy vessel would be used for such an honorable, inimaginable cause, blows us away, or it should. This is what Paul is saying. This is the big picture of sanctification. And this morning, what I would like to do with the balance of our time in prayerfully bringing to you not just a ought to message, but a how to message, is I want to take this principle of sanctification and I want to walk through some of the more common and popular and powerful passages of Scripture to bring this principle that we prayerfully can go before God on a daily basis. And let our prayer be that, Lord, let my life this year bring more glory to you than it did last year. Lord, may my July bring more glory to you than my June. May my first week of the month bring more glory than the last week. May my afternoon bring you more glory than my morning. We can live in this perpetual growth of God's righteousness in us and through us through his sanctifying grace. And I want you to see how important it is to God. I want you to see how big this call to sanctification is. I want you to see how important it is to God, how comprehensive it is. I want to give you a tool that you could bring into your quiet time. You could do it every day. And I just want you to see how God says this is important. He gives us a call to grow in these things, to become more and more like him. And what I ask you to do is take this little tool and sit with it this week in your quiet time and say, Lord, let me look at where I am today versus where I used to be. Let me use this as a tool that says, okay, let me go back to it in a week or a month or next year, and let me see, am I growing? Let me bring it into my quiet time and say, Lord, help me with these areas. Purify me. Draw me closer to you in your sanctifying grace. I'm going to give you these little continuums, these little scales. hear me, this is not about taking score. This is not about getting good enough. What the Lord cares about is the temperature of your heart. I want you to think of this as a thermostat and not a scoreboard. And that you can go, I can go, and say, Lord, I'm going to be a work in progress for the rest of my life. And what I want, what do I want, whether I live another 30 days or the reality of I get to live forever? I want to make much of you with my life. I want to make more of you tomorrow than I did yesterday. Just a little tool. And what I have done is brought scripture. And it's certainly, there's more scripture to be had. You can find this. I'd ask you to take this list and grow it personally. But I want you to see that God's word draws out the importance of these priorities. Let me just start by taking you to John 17:17. This is a verse that underscores all of what I've said and where we're about to go. God's word, simply this, Jesus speaking, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. Jesus speaking to the Father. Sanctify them. Sanctify them in the truth. You see, if we leave the authority of Scripture and think we're going to do this on our own or through some other means, we've just left the plantation of genuine faith. Let me just show you what I mean. Starting in Matthew chapter 5, some of what you would recognize to be the Sermon on the Mount. In verses 4 through 14, we're promised, Jesus said, blessed, makarios, are those who mourn. I ask you, are you more apt to be one who mourns right now? Is your heart heavy with the things that heavy God's heart? Do your sins and what you have done to hurt God, do you carry that or are you flippant with it? Meekness, do you have strength under control? Is your life that of a gentle breeze and a soothing ointment to others? Or are you pompous and harsh? Where do you stand in your righteousness? Are you more righteous or worldly right now? Can you go to the Lord and say, help me, Father. Help me to pursue and have the want to of your righteousness more than the world. Are we more merciful or callous? Do we have a purity of heart or are we manipulative? These are all areas where God calls out his standards. Are we a peacemaker or an instigator? Do you find yourself adding to the gossip or silencing the gossip? How much persecution is in our life? Do you find yourself being persecuted because of your relationship and your stand for the Lord, or are you hiding from? Where are you in this? Lord, come help me to not hide. Help me to embrace the persecution that will come if I live my life for you. Are you more salt or are you bland in your circles of influence? Are you seasoning the ground upon which you walk with the love and the power and the promise of our Savior? Are you light or are you dim in the darkness of your world? Oh, that we would say, Lord, grow us in your light. Let us be ever brighter, Lord. I want to be a bright light. I know I'm in so many dark places. Oh, Lord, please brighten my light for you. What about if you look where we recognize the church is born in the New Testament in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47. God's word says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone kept feeling a sense of awe, and many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. And all those who had believed were together and had all things in common, and they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, they were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord was adding to their number day by day those who were being saved. That's the birth of the church. That's the New Testament picture of what it is to be ecclesia, to be the church. I ask you from that passage, are you growing in your devotion? Are you growing in your devotion to God and his call? Or are you distracted? Where are you right now on that continuum? Can you go to the Lord and say, sanctify my devotion, Lord. Draw me closer. Are you learning God's ways? Or are you accepting ignorance? And I mean that in the true sense of the word, not harsh. It's okay. I don't need to know my Bible. Oh, so many are led astray into slaughter through ignorance. How are you in terms of fellowship? Are you fellowshipping with the body? Are you truly, truly sowing your lives together? Or are you somewhat disconnected and, well, it's not really important. I go to church. I don't need to worry about being the church. How about prayer? How's your prayer life? Are you intimate with the Lord or out of touch? Lord, please sanctify my prayer life. Are you experiencing God or evaluating him? Do you find yourself immersed and overwhelmed with his hand upon your life? Or are you kicking the tires on him and continuing to say, well, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. Are you in community or are you independent? Are you a swatch in the quilt of this body? Or are you on the outside looking in? Are you selfless in your sharing or are you selfish? Is it about you or is it about our King and how he wants to use you with others? All of these are in this passage where God is calling us out and saying to be more like me is to have more and more of this likeness in your life. And you can't do it on your own. I can't do it. We can't work our way there. Are we more consistent or inconsistent? Is there authenticity or superficiality in our relationship, our relationships? I want you to know that if you're satisfied with just having a surface, cursory, hi, how are you, nice to see you, oh yeah, I recognize you from, that's not biblical church. That's not Christ-likeness. When you hurt, I should feel the pain. When you bleed, I should need a bandage. We are truly one in Christ. And if you are not, something's wrong. And we shouldn't be satisfied with what the world calls church. Are we praising God or are we grumbling? You say, I'm praising God so long as, fill in the blank. Sanctifying our hearts is to increase our praise and our worship and our joy, no matter what. Are we influential or are we being ignored? Are you making a difference in this world? Or are you just another speed bump on the road that people travel on their way into oblivion? I pray to God you're a neon sign with a real warmth, not a bullhorn, but a guide along the road that says, here, I'm here to help. I can help. Are we finding more lost souls or are we forgetting them? Are we in the midst of an intentional discipleship growth or are we drifting? All of these in this one passage where God is calling us to and saying to become more Christ-like is to be drawn in this way. You could do the same thing when you look at the account of what we know as biblical love. 1 Corinthians 13, that chapter, describes love God's way. I ask you, are you growing in loving patience or are you impatient? Can you say, Lord, help me with my patience that it would demonstrate your love in my life? Are we showing loving kindness or are we just harsh and unkind? Do we chop down and say, well, you know, I'm right. I don't need to be kind. No, righteousness oftentimes has to give way to being right in the interest of being kind. Do we have a confidence in our relationship or are we jealous of things in the world? Are we humble or are we arrogant? Lord, help me with my humility. Lord, draw me closer. These are all areas of biblical calls for sanctification. Are we respectful of others or are we rude? Are we filled with selflessness or are we always seeking what we want? Are we willing to long suffer or are we easily angered? Do we have forgiveness in our heart or do we hold a grudge? Oh, Lord, sanctify my heart. Give me the forgiveness that I have received that I can share it with others. It is to be more like Christ, to grow in each one of these areas. Are we showing the world a righteousness or a shadowy, perverted picture of our Lord? Well, I get to do this, so I'm going to do that because I can. Do we see joy in the truth, or are we loving a lie? Are we protecting others, or are we worried about our self-preservation? Do we have trust in God and His Word, or are we skeptics? Are we always enjoying being the devil's advocate? I tell you something, hell will be filled with devil's advocates. There's a reason for that term, devil's advocate. Think about that, devil's advocate. Do you have hope or pessimism filling your heart? Lord, give me more hope. Lord, let me live above the fray. Are you persevering or quitting? Oh, Lord, don't let me be a quitter. Lord, give me the grace to persevere. I can't do this on my own, but I know you want me to be more like you, and the more I persevere, the more like you I am. Do you have completeness? Or do you feel fragmented? Oh, Lord, let me be filled with all I need in you, I pray. I could do this on and on and on. In your notes, I've done it again with the fruit of the Spirit. You can go through this and say, Lord, am I filled with your love, or do I have this superficial surface lust or like that the world is calling love? Oh, Lord, let me love as you love, an agape love, no strings attached. Do I have your joy, or am I really living through the placebo of circumstance and surface activity? Peace versus fleeting peace. Do I have patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness that all have your signature and your power in them? Or am I accepting what the world offers? Oh, Lord, sanctify me this day. Make me more like you. Lord, draw me to you. What do I want if I have 30 days or 30,000 millennia? I want you and to be more like you. I want to make much of you, Lord. Is God your treasure? Is the Lord your treasure? Or are you satisfied with things of the world? Matthew 13:44 says that when we love him so much that we would sell everything else, that's where we want to be. Am I committed, or am I still contemplating? Jeremiah 29:13, you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart, all of your heart.
Amen. I pray that this idea of looking at God's word and seeing what he's called us to and prepared us for and wants us to be sanctified into, I pray that you'll look at what the word of God calls for and contrast it with what the culture or perhaps your current state are offering and recommending. And ask yourself, am I here where God is calling me to, or am I somewhere over here where the world is walking? And then keep a record. Take this list and literally go back through and check yourself. Again, you can do this on a daily basis. It's a wonderful way to come before the Lord to check the thermostat of your heart and to bring your needs to him. Lord, help me with this, or Lord, forgive me for that. Lord, thank you for the victories I'm having in these areas. You know, what you check and measure is what in your heart of hearts really matters. And so it's a good thing to go through and test yourself. Again, not as a scorecard, but as a thermostat. If your heart's desire is to be sanctified, this is one of the ways that you can do that. And again, it brings now to me this next question, the fourth question that I asked you, which is, how Christ-like do you want to be? Let me show you, here's a hidden gem in this passage. Of these nine words, listen to this one. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is. This word is, boy, I'll tell you what, some of you are going to feel the Lord himself just reach up and grab you right here. This word is, it's the same word that we recognize as I am. It's the same word that Jesus uses in John's gospel to identify himself as the great I am, with the different metaphors that encourage us to know him as the truth, to know him as Almighty God, the one in whom all of our hope and all of our healing resides. He used that same word to make sure that the people in his day knew that he is God. Jesus is God. He quoted the same words and phrase that were used with Moses in the Old Testament when God revealed himself to Moses and he said, "You tell them that I am." Jesus then said, "I am," over and over and over again. It's why they wanted to stone him. It's why they sought to kill him. Here again, we have that same word. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is. Notice word, logos. We said that's Jesus. Is, I am. That's Jesus. We're going to come back to truth at the end. That's Jesus. What we're seeing is at the core of being sanctified is a relationship with Jesus. It's all about him. It's your relationship to the God of the Word through your relationship with the Word of God. Sanctify them with the truth. Your word is I am. It's another undeniable identifier. It's another divine statement. It's showing us that to be changed, it's an act of grace through the gospel of Jesus Christ for his glory. You see, I want to ask you, how Christ-like do you want to be? Do you want to be like the truth? Do you want to be like the word? Do you want to be like the I am? And again, he closes with that double standard. Remember, repetition means emphasis. Two times in nine words, here again we have truth. Your word is truth. And let me point out to you something that's really huge here. Notice that he does not say your word is true. That would be an adjective. Again, the sentence structure and the grammar is very important here. No, he's not saying, Jesus is not saying, Father, that your word is true. That would be a description of something else. No, he says, your word is, I am truth. It's the definition of truth. It's the standard of truth. It's the authority of truth. Everything else is measured by, defined by this word. His name is Jesus. This word, the Holy Bible. Everything else is to be compared by and defined by, come under the authority of this I am truth. Again, his name is Jesus. And this is his word. Now, those are the nine words of John 17, 17. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is I am truth. Amen and amen. Let me give you a 10th point for today. And that is the key that I pray will bless you. Because as I said, I don't want to give you a have to. I want to give you a how to. And I pray bless you. I want you to see the secret to this process. Again, it's all of God's grace and it's all for his glory. But no doubt many of you are saying, yeah, but how? You don't understand, Pastor Jeff. I want this, but I struggle. How? I want to share with you in the last point today how you can know this victory in Jesus. What is the essence to the secret? Paul tells the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 4 that he wants them to know the secret. I want you to know the secret. I want you to hear that the key to having this victory in Jesus, it's worship. It's worship that brings the renewal that you and I can have every single day. Again, this is what Jesus wants for us and from us every day. And he doesn't call us to anything that he doesn't equip us for. I want you to listen to John Piper as he explains this, and then we'll come back and we'll close in a way that I pray will launch you into your day and into the rest of your life for the glory of God.
Notice the implications of this word renewed. We are being renewed every day. If you are being renewed every day, what does that imply? It implies hope fades. Encouragement wanes. Your bucket leaks. I find that unbelievably encouraging. That the Apostle Paul says, I got a secret. And it isn't a secret of how never to need renewal. You can have an experience, don't need renewal anymore. That's not the message. In fact, the message is unbelievably realistic. Day by day, renewed. Which means every day you leak. Every day you fade. Every day you get depleted. That's what it says. You wouldn't need to be renewed day by day if you could run your car on yesterday's gas. If your metabolism could function on yesterday's meal. If the pain in your head could be relieved on yesterday's dosage. You can't run today's life on yesterday's newness. This is just huge. Those of you who've been Christians a while just know this. You're saying, I know. If you're a new believer, this is one of the most important things you can learn in your life. Because it's so easy to think on the highs that come with Jesus moving into your life is that I've found it, I've risen, I'm there, I'm flying on eagle's wings. You won't be. So you got to find ways to put the air under your wings every day. And he says, I know how to do that. That's the secret I'm after here. I don't want to lose heart. Not a day. I want the secret of being renewed every day. Not a week, not a month. I want every day. I want to figure this out so that I can walk like this. I know life is going to be a battle. That's the implication of renew. So, Paul, I really, really want what you say you have. And you say it takes renewing. This is what Jesus meant when he said in Matthew 6:34, each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't be anxious about tomorrow, because tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient unto the day is its own trouble. Have you ever thought about that phrase? Its own trouble. Like what is today? Friday? Okay. There's Friday trouble. Guess what? There's Saturday trouble. That's what Jesus said. That's not like me being a prophet. Each day has its trouble. It's appointed. There's going to be Sunday trouble. I'm getting on a plane tomorrow. Maybe the front wheel will fall off. I don't know. Jesus said so. But you know what else? Lamentations 3 said, sufficient for the day, the mercies of the Lord are new every morning. Those two texts of, I don't know how many years I've been using them for my soul, a lot. Every day has its own trouble. Every day has its own mercies. This is Lamentations 3:21, and this is Matthew 6:34. God has matched them. That's part of the secret. Tomorrow will have its Saturday troubles, and tomorrow will have its Saturday mercies. And those Saturday mercies must be tapped into by the secret here of renewing. Because I had some mercies this morning, and they're not designed for tomorrow. They were designed for today. Right now, I'm feeling them now. Tomorrow, there's going to be new mercies. And the secret that he's got here is, how do you get under those? How do you get in those? How do you experience those? And I paused right here in my preparation. I asked myself the question, since this is this conference is under the banner Soli Deo Gloria, to God alone be the glory. And I asked God, I said to him, God, is there something in this text that would just give me a clue? Why did you set it up this way that I have to be renewed every day? I mean, you could have just bumped me up to maximum sanctification and kept me there. You know how I know he could? Because he's going to do it when Jesus comes back. I'll never sin again after Jesus comes back. So why am I sinning now? I mean, Lord, just do that. You're going to do it then? Just do it now. And he says, not the plan. And to just go back and borrow the text from this morning, we have this treasure in jars of clay for a reason. Clay that needs to be renewed every day. Clay that can't stand on its own longer than 24 hours. Or on yesterday's grace for 24 hours. So that the surpassing power will belong to God. And you can get in God's face about this and say, I don't like the plan. I don't like the plan that you leave me unsanctified and battling every day with depletion, having to be renewed on grace every day. I don't like the plan. I'd just like to be done with the battle. And he'd say, well, that's the plan. And the reason it's the plan, I've given you some clues. I'm going to get some glory in your life. If you didn't do it this way, you know what? You'd get uppity about it. You'd think you had it made. You'd think it would start coming from you. The fact that you run out of gas every day puts you in the station. That's me. So God has his reasons for why he saves us in stages. Sanctifies us slowly, makes us fill up every day at his pump, lest we forget where the gas comes from.
Amen and amen. I love John Piper. I'll tell you what, it's a beautiful thing to see somebody captured with the passion of God's truth and love and sharing it with others. I pray that you too, as a part of your being sanctified, that you'll live out this renewal, this understanding that God wants you and me to be sanctified, to live sent, to go and share, show and tell the world his word, his will, and his ways, that others too will know this place. This is good news. Friend, if you want to be sanctified, the key is to understand that you need to worship. As John Piper said, the key to being able to live in this victory is to be renewed every day and to see the promises of God, that there will be challenges every single day. We talk about it often here in the Bridge family. I share the fight before I share the faith in terms of the fundamentals, because we will be in a fight every single day, every single day. So how do you get to this place of renewal? I think that what John Piper could have done that would have helped, and I'm going to try to pick up the baton here and take it all the way home, is to share that the way to know this victory of renewal is to worship. It's to worship. It's been said before that if you will worship, you will be renewed. And I love this little simple formula. Again, I pray it will bless you, a tool that you can share with others. You need to understand that you will be renewed in direct proportion to your worship. That as you worship, truly worship our Lord, you will truly be renewed. That there is a direct correlation to how you worship. It equals how you are going to be renewed. So if you look at this little formula, blank worship equals blank renewal. You get to choose how you're going to worship, which will ultimately determine how you will be renewed. Some folks we know, they go to church and say, hey, I get renewed. I do some worshiping every Christmas and Easter. So if you want to be renewed twice a year, go to church or find your own way of genuinely worshiping. If that's enough for you, I don't think you're honest if you say it is, then have at it. Some people say, well, you know, I'm a regular church goer. I go to church at least once a month. So I get renewed once a month. And again, you don't have to go to a church or into a service or even a gathering of people to worship the Lord. But most people will say, when I'm actively worshiping, I'm most naturally in the context of the family of God. Now, sometimes I'll go for a walk and I'll have a quiet time. I'll be alone. But there's something to be said for being that bright light, that salt, that unified family of God, again, that Jesus is praying for in this prayer, in this chapter. So if you embrace being the church on a regular basis, that's probably where you're regularly going to sense your worship and your renewing. Well, let me just play this out for you in a way that I pray will help you. Because if you take this formula, blank worship equals blank renewal, I say it to you this way. Pick whatever word you want to fill in the blanks. But the key is you have to use one word for both blanks. So if you're going to worship monthly, you'll be renewed monthly. If you worship weekly, hey, I go to church every Sunday. Well, how you doing come Tuesday, Wednesday? If you're only worshiping once a week, chances are your week gets really hard and dry by the time you're somewhere in the middle. Most of us can't leave the parking lot before we're neck deep in more struggle. And boy, could we use some renewal. Some of you will say, no, that's not me. I go to church 2-3 times a week. Or some of you will say, no, I start every day with a quiet time. What I want to show you, and I pray help you to see, is that if you're in church or worshiping once a week, chances are your weeks get really hard. If you begin your day with prayer and worship, chances are by the middle of the afternoon, you're going to be in a real struggle. No, what we're called to is to be consistent, constant worshipers. You see, if you'll constantly worship, you'll be constantly renewed. And that's how you and I win the battle. That's how you and I go forward as discipled warriors winning spiritual warfare. It's to live in perpetual worship, knowing that that will usher in perpetual renewal. Let me show it to you this way. I want to have you think of yourself as this cup. And when we talk about being renewed, it's the Lord pouring into us. So imagine him pouring into us what we need to be renewed. So you can see the Lord has plenty. We're never going to run out of raw material when we have our Lord. But our cup, as filled as it may be, can run into trouble. You see, right now I've got literally a very full cup. So let's say I've been renewed. The challenge comes when the pin of spiritual warfare in real life comes. Happens. What? Again, during your week, when come Tuesday afternoon, oops, you've got these issues that are coming. And then this bill hit, and we weren't expecting that. And then I got the call from the school. And before you know it, you've got everything from your past, your present, and your future poking holes in you. And as Piper said, you begin to leak. Well, what happens when they're not minor pinholes? But what happens when all of a sudden some of the damage gets significantly bigger? You see, if while you're doing life, you're feeling the pain of the pinholes of spiritual warfare, and some of them are getting bigger and bigger, and I know right now many of you are saying, hey, that's me. What happens when all of a sudden it really gets bad? And you feel like somebody just blew a hole right out of the bottom of your boat, and you say, man, we are draining fast. It won't matter that you filled up, you were renewed on Sunday. You'll literally look. And this is true for all of us. 30 seconds ago, this was filled. You felt renewed. Many of you have left church at times. You've gotten up off your knees. You've come out of your quiet time only to feel like you got hit in the face the second you got off your knees or left the presence of worship. It happens, and it's going to continue to happen. As Piper said, the goal is not to figure out a way to plug these holes. No, let me show you. Again, The key is to be renewed. If I'm worshiping and the Lord is filling me up, notice, I can leak, but if I keep worshiping, my cup stays full. The key is not to plug the holes. The key is to keep worshiping. Keep worshiping and you'll be renewed. I could actually worship to the point where my cup overflows. I think you've heard the Lord say that too. And that's what I want to help you to do. I want you to realize that the key is not to figure out how to get away from spiritual warfare and the pinholes of life or the pinheads of life. You're not going to do it. The key is to be renewed by worshiping our Lord according to His word, His will, and His ways. And in so doing, you will win in this real war that we know of as spiritual warfare. You will walk in victory in Christ, not just at the finish line because you know you're going home to heaven, but right down here in the middle of the swamp, praise God. If you'll worship the Lord, if you'll embrace His desire that you be sanctified, that you want to be different from the culture and more like Christ. You want to be unified, not in a cultural crowd, but in Christ's church. You want to be truth-filled and not just religious. You want to be Christ-like. You want to be like the I Am. You want to be like His Word. You want to be a walking witness to the truth. You'll want to be faithfully obedient because it brings glory to God. Friends, I want to ask you one last time, how different do you want to be? How unified do you want to be? How truth-filled do you want to be? How Christ-like do you really want to be? How faithfully obedient do you really want to be? Jesus wants this for you and from you. More than anything else, every single day, all day, because you will bring Him the most glory and you will celebrate His grace in the most gospel-centric way. Oh, I pray that you will not settle for the status quo of sin and society's norms. No, I pray that you will want to be sanctified. That you will show and tell the world not just how to be sanctified, but the glory that is being sanctified as you praise God with your lives, not just your lips. Oh, I pray in these closing thoughts and then the songs that will come that your spirit will be uplifted. Because wherever this message found you today, know that help is on the way. Just don't settle for the status quo.
A quote that I once read in a plant manager's office that hung above his head in a furniture manufacturing plant. I find it to be so poignantly and powerfully applied here. The quote is simply this: to maintain the status quo is the most eloquent form of suicide. The ironic thing is, you feel good as you die. God, let us not be satisfied with the status quo. May your grace grow in us and through us to the detriment of the devil and to the glory of God. Amen and amen. Would you please pray with me? Oh, Lord, I thank you so much for the clarity with which you speak through your word. Lord, I pray that we would love your word, that we would come to know you and your character, that we would be committed to making much of you, that Christ and Christ's likeness would consume us through the power and love of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we are sock puppets without you. We have nothing to offer. But with you, through you, for you, in you, we know no bounds. Oh, Lord, take your dimmer switch of sanctification and brighten our lights. Come into us. Those that are true biblical believers, brighten our light and extend our warmth, I pray. And where there are those who do not yet know you, or those who have been deceived into thinking that they are in the family but are not yet truly your children, use us, Lord, never in a condemning way, but with compassion. Touch those people around us with your truth and love, and let us know the privilege of being both your lips and your fingertips, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.